think this guy fits in here. If not, we'll make it fit. Excellent. Good. We see it's all about the mind. Ooh, this guy's loud. We see it's... Come on back. I'll keep you awake one way or another. So... Put you right in front of it and we'll test it. All right, how we doing? That's still too loud? A little bit loud? All right, we're good. Leave it where it is. It'll be good enough. All right, see, the battle is in the mind here. And it says we're supposed to control minds and bring every thought into captivity. That is the hardest thing I find to teach people. You are supposed to have every thought under control. Every thought. Our becomes so weak, and again, if I was teaching a different lesson, if you get my messages on the mind, I'll teach more about this. One of the hardest things for people, and the reason everybody has mental problems nowadays, nobody can control their thoughts. They tell you you're bipolar, and they tell you you suffer from severe anxiety, or you suffer from depression. What you suffer from is you can't stop your thoughts where you don't want them to go. That's the problem. And you can take a drug and you'll be feeling, and that'll fix that problem and be feeling anymore, but there's other ways to do that, which means when your mind starts going down the way, you say, you're going to go this way. You learn how to think thankfully. You learn, praise God. And somebody will say, you know what, everything in my life is wrong. It's terrible. My life is miserable and hopeless, and I got a terrible life, and everything's bad. And then you just talk to them, and you realize, no, it really isn't. You're just about only the bad things. You're only thinking about those bad things. You eat and you got food. You can jump, you can run. You can see. You can hear. Talk. You can love. You are alive. You're not starving to death. You don't have leukemia. You're okay. Your mind just keeps on going to those negative things. And the mind is a thing, because your mind affects how you feel. It affects your emotions. It affects relationships. And if you can't control your thoughts, and there's all kinds of mind problems. People who think in their mind immoral thoughts sexually, or people who think bitter thoughts and angry thoughts, and people who think thoughts of revenge, or people who think thoughts about covetousness, thoughts about all kinds of mental thought things. And the Bible says you, down strongholds, must bring every thought to the obedience of the mind of Christ and God wants you to do. And when my wife was a teenager, and I was a teenager, we were talking one time, and she was started new coming to our church and being... And she looked at me at the time and wanted to learn from me. She's asking me, what do your greatest strength is? And why do you serve God so well? And I really kind of surprised her, I think. The answer was, I'm really good at getting up. I'm really getting back up. If I mess up, which I do, and see, then I was a pretty new Christian. When I messed up, I would go, I'd confess my sin, and I'd go back and serve God. Moved on. A lot of people don't do that. She asked me, well, how do you do that? How do you just mess up and know you've messed up and you're not worthy of, and then just go ahead and go back out and start serving God and get the, and just like nothing? And I said, well, I know I'm forgiven and I feel forgiven. And so I just go back, start serving God again. And then, how do you do that? How do you just feel forgiven and know you're forgiven? So I started chewing on that for a long time. Why do I feel so forgiven? Because you know what truth is? I'm not worthy to stand up here behind the pulpit. If I got what I deserve, I wouldn't be preaching to be burning right now. If I got what I deserved, I would go to straight hell. I don't deserve to serve God. I don't deserve to be born again. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve to be a preacher. I don't deserve to have the family I have. I don't deserve all the blessings I have. And I'm blessed. But I am forgiven. And I think some people will go and they say, well, Pastor, I messed up. I confess my sin, but I don't feel like I'm really clean, and I don't really feel like I'm forgiven. I think today's message will help you with that, because the Bible teaches you there's a reason for that many times. And let me take you back to Matthew, and we'll go there in Matthew chapter 5. And let me read a little bit there in Matthew and Luke and teach you some. Because I want to talk today about the big, big problem of forgiveness, big problem of bitterness, the big problem of that area and kind of around that realm. Because it's a strong, remember, a big giant fortress in your life that keeps on making you get destroyed. And the same cycle of your life. You go through the same failures and the same failures. Because the devil has a strong life. You didn't just go back to drugs, you have a stronghold there. You didn't just go to immorality, you had a stronghold. You didn't just go back to bad thinking or a bad marriage or raising the kids wrong or whatever. It's a stronghold, and you keep on doing the things and same things if you do, because you have the devil has a stronghold in your life. And we want to talk about just a few strongholds here. And today we're talking about forgiveness. In Matthew 5, 44, it says, "But I say, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray them which despitefully use you and persecute you, may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. How many of you, be honest with, if you could terrible weather over certain people all the time, how many of you, some people would look like Eeyore, have the constant cloud over their head, have, well, maybe even lightning bolts, but you would do that. You know, look at people, and some people bother me. I mean, I've seen with just bad people sometimes. I've seen bad people, and a lot of times I'm helping buddy, and there's a bad person in their life. There's an abusive boyfriend. There's a drug dealer. There's a whatever, and I'm dealing with that. You know, Lord, why do you zap these people? And sometimes I look at myself and I say, okay, Lord, why don't you me? And deserve it too. But you know the amazing thing about God's down, and somebody curses him, he'll go and mock God and say there isn't a God and make fun of God and make fun of him and do make terrible art with his son and do all kinds of evil things. He gives him rain, he gives him food, he gives him air, he gives him everything. He's just good to him. And he says, just so you can be God, verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, he maketh the sun to rise in the evil and the good, and sendeth rain in the just and the just. And if you want to be God, it says, but I say unto you, verse 45, love your enemies, bless them which curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray which despitefully use you, persecute you. Despitefully use you. Pray for them, love them. If you go to 6, in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Isn't that amazing? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Verse 15. But if you forgive men their trespasses, neither will Father forgive your trespasses. You know, I don't think I've ever heard a preacher put those verses right there in all my years. Pretty clear statement there. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. And if you're saved, you're going to heaven. But that does not mean your sins are forgiven in a relationship. Let me explain that to you. When my kids are born, they're my kids. They're mine now. They got my house. They get to live with me, and they're mine. And them, and I'm always going to love them. They'll always be mine about what they do. That does not mean we have a good relationship. They may be at odds with me. I may be mad at them because they did bad. And our relationship isn't right, and they aren't forgiving. They haven't come and asked for forgiveness yet, and they aren't doing right. And you know what? Love them. They're still my child. Our home is still their home. But you know what? Things aren't right. And you're saved, except Christ your Savior, you're going to heaven. It's sealed. God's Spirit's in you. You're going to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. However, many Christians don't feel forgiven because they're not. They're still God's child. They're still saved, still going to heaven, but their relationship with God is right. And their relationship with God is not right. Many times, even though sometimes confess their sins, is because God said, I'm going to forgive you the same way you forgive other people. Now, nobody teaches that, but Jesus does a bunch. It's all over the Bible. Just kind of read over that and just say, that's okay. That must be for the unsaved. No, it's for the saved. It's like the disciples there. And he says this in many ways very clearly. I don't think you're saved by your works at all. I don't think you're saved because you forgive anybody or don't forgive anybody. You're going to either way. But I do think your relationship with God isn't right sometimes because you forgive. And the devil has a stronghold there. Verse 15 again. But if you forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. You're supposed to love your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use you, bless and curse you, and forgive people. And Luke chapter 6, verse 35. It says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hope nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, it shall be forgiven. Because if you do that, I will do that. There's many verses we could teach. Jesus teaches a whole bunch, many different passages. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Where we just were, but just chapter 7. Again, the sermon in the with Jesus talking. Chapter 7. Verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Now, very carefully listen to this. For what judgment ye meet, or for what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Interesting. I, at that time, was young Christian serving God and having a great time in the ministry of serving people and folks of Christ. And you know, people are nice to you when you minister, and they were sometimes persecuting me or making fun of me. And boy, going to public school and taking my Bible with me to public school, oh boy, I got mocked, and my old friends would make fun of me. But I really wanted my friends. And they might make fun of me, but I would still be kind to them and love them. And the people at school, we wanted all of them saved. And people who weren't nice to me, and if I'd try to get a kid to church and the parents wouldn't let them come and they'd put me out and they'd say they hate God or whatever, I was with them. Not because I was perfect, but you know what? I started getting close to God and started loving like God loves. 1 John 4, if you're close to God, you get God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not, God is love. And I began to love. As I studied, why do I feel so forgiven? I began to understand, because I am. And then some other people along that time started talking to me. You know what? I know I'm saved. I know this is saved on this date, da-da-da-da-da. But you know what? I do bad things, and then I go and I talk about it. You know what? I really feel like I'm forgiven. And I began to study the scripture on this with her question, understand that God always boomerangs forgiveness and judgment back to you. And he says, how do you want it forgiven? Well, I'm going to forgive you and restore relationship exactly like you do it. How do you do it? And so you go and you say, you know what? I can't say, well, you're just, I'm going to get you back. I'm car and slicing your tire. And then you go to God and say, I'm so unworthy. I sinned against you. I did something terrible. And God says, and you go away and you catch your sins. Okay? You're still going to heaven. You're saved by that. But the relationship isn't. Because God says, you know what? I am back to you. Forgive people don't feel forgiven because they do not forgive people. And Jesus says, with the same measure you judge people, I'm going to judge you. And by the way, that's not this is right or wrong. I don't think you should judge people. Okay, you don't judge the murderer, huh? Someone is saying it's not at all saying it's right or wrong. The book already makes a judgment, it's right or wrong, thus saith the Lord. It's not what judgment is when you pass mercy and pretend like you're the judge and you pass the condemnation. And there's no mercy anymore. And that's not your job. That's God's job. It's not saying a right or wrong. Bible already says it wrong. It's not you making any judgment. Many people don't get forgiven because they don't give. They get measured it back to them the same way. They don't restore it to God. And that's just one thing that happens with unforgiveness. See, unforgiveness has a bunch of consequences. Unforgiveness starts with just unforgiveness. Then it turns to anger. And if it goes a really, really long time, it gets affected and it becomes what's called bitterness. And bitterness destroys you. Bible likens it to cancer. Bitterness is. How is forgiveness and bitterness a stronghold? Number one, you never really feel forgiven by God because he's returning back your type of forgiveness. Well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Do? What have you done to God? But I've done more to God than anybody's ever done to me. I put the Son of God on the cross. I knew better and I still mess every day. If I were God, I would zap me a long time ago. And yet God, in his mercy, keeps having mercy. And the Bible says his mercy endureth for. And he keeps forgiving. He paid for all my sins, knowing all of them. Commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet, Christ died for us. And some probably are sitting there today saying, I don't really feel forgiven, God. You talk about knowing your wash and know your cleanse. And by the way, the way in your the Bible, it's complete. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord, that your sins be as white as snow, that your red like snow, they say white like wool. If you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're saved in Jesus Christ as yours, you're trusting him as your way to heaven and he's for you, and you believe he died and rose again and he's your salvation and church and not yourself and not your good deeds, but alone, you're saved. Bible says he died for all your sins. No matter how wicked you've been, he shows that. And he loves everybody. And when he forgives you, he forgives, as the memory verse says, as far as the east is west, so far, O Lord, has thou removed transgressions from us. The east and the west meet, they're eternally separated. Wash as white as snow. Cleanse. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make whole again? There's power in the blood. Jesus died for all of your sins. And if he did that, you really can be completely cleansed. If you're a murderer, ask the Apostle Paul that. Cleanse. David about that, cleanse. And then David murdered somebody and committed adultery, said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow in Psalms 51. His forgiveness is complete. If you don't feel like God's forgiven you, there's a reason. Because when I confess my sins, when I'm right with God or right with people, you know what happens? I go away feeling clean. And a lot of bad things. You never really feel forgiven by God. Number two, why is this a stronghold? Because you do not understand forgiveness. You do not love God like you should. You can't forgive somebody else. You think God can't forgive you. And so you do not understand that God has forgiven you. But the Bible says how much you love God is determined by how much he's forgiven by. He to whom much is forgiven and loveth much. We love him as he first loved us. And I go and I say, I can't believe all the things I've done bad. I've done so many things wrong and I can't. God loves me. Who loved Jesus the most? Bible, who said they wept and wiped their tears and with their hair? The one who is full of demons and the woman who is a sinner, prostitute. Jesus Christ says, she loves me a whole bunch because she's had much forgiven. But if you don't feel forgiven, you don't feel like, you know, I don't feel like you don't love God very much because you don't feel forgiven, not forgiven other people. And you say, I can't forgive. How can God forgive me? Because God's greater than you. One. God's mercy forever. Ours doesn't. Number three, it's a stronghold because you cannot move on with your life because this is so weird. I don't understand this, but I know it's true. You can't move on with your life because you will fail to show they hurt you. If you rip me off financially, you're not going to. But if you did, I'm not going to sit here and lose my house to say, see, look what you did to me. I'm going to cut off mine and show you how bad my face is. I'm too selfish. It's a strange thing because if you don't do this, you think I'm crazy saying this right now, do this, you know exactly what I'm talking about, or if somebody else does it. They want to show you that you really hurt them so they completely fail and let their life fall apart in order to let you know how bad they really hurt you. I'm never going to have a good marriage, Mom. You didn't have a good marriage. Look at this. I'm mean to my husband. Rolling, where's that rolling pin? I'm going to show you, Mom. I'm just like you, Mom. See how much you ruined my life? And you have a bad marriage. And he might grab the frying pan. It is amazing the victimhood mentality we get nowadays. We're going to show them how bad they hurt us. You ever been pouted at? And you, somebody says, go do that job. And you, I can't do it. And so then they go try to do it. And they go, see, it didn't work. You don't ever do that, do you? You know somebody who does that? Okay, I know you do it. And you just. And so you go and you go and people fail and they live their life in a stronghold of fear because my mom did this or my grand did this or my dad abandoned me. My parents weren't affectionate, so I'll never be affectionate to my husband. And you have a miserable husband and a miserable marriage. And you fail because you decided to be a victim. Because you're sitting here living in the past what your dad did to you 40 years ago. You're living in the past about how somebody failed. And you know what? You can't move on in life because you have a stronghold of unforgiveness. I refuse somebody in my past through my life. I refuse that my dad was an alcoholic make me an alcoholic. I'm not going to be a victim. If I'm a victim, I choose to be. And if you choose to live in unforgiveness, you can go ahead and live a miserable life and say, well, my dad didn't teach me to work hard. Well, you need to learn to work hard. Well, my mom may not be a good mom. Okay, learn how to be a good mom. Or you can lay around and say, you hurt me so bad, sir. Look at this. I'm losing my house. I'm losing. And you get mad at your husband, and you could lay around and have a miserable life, or somebody failed you, or your mom and dad said, I need some money. And so you're going to show them to go do a bunch of drugs and show them, look, jail now because you didn't give me money. No, you're in jail because you choose to do wrong things. Mom and daddy. And if you don't learn to move on with your life and just be an adult, you have a miserable life, and you'll show them. I'm too selfish to do that. I'm going to have a great life. Say, Pastor, I'm not going to. Next Sunday, I'll show you. You know what? I'll have a great next Sunday. I'll have a great Sunday next Sunday. I miss you. I love you. But you know what? I'm not going to say, we're going to have a bad Sunday because we're going to show them how miserable it is without them. I'm too stubborn. I'll have a better Sunday. Pizza next Sunday. Yeah! And I'm going to call you and say, we're eating pizza. Ha ha. No, I won't do that. And would I like to do that? You're all wanting that, Pastor? No. I'm going to do it. But you know what? You can't live in unforgiveness and ruining your own life. People do that. It's crazy. I don't understand it, but they are going to, they don't, because they will not forgive somebody and the other person does not know how bad they hurt me. I'm going to fail in life and show them how bad they hurt me. I'd smile every time I was around. I might be doing, oh, everything's terrible. Here they are. Hey, how you doing? Number four, your mind dwells on them. Human nature is so crazy. You have 20 good things happening today. You have 50 people and one guy cuts you off on the highway. One mean to you, and what do you think about? What do you go tell your wife about it? I tell you what, honey, my boss is so nice to me today. No. That's idiot at work. And then you're biting her head off. And where's dinner? You know what a good wife does? Husband comes home, he's tired, fought IF traffic, comes home, he's miserable, everything's tough, oh, tired, comes home. And a good wife has had a tough day, and diaper leaked, and every food and everything else happened bad. You know what all talk about? Your kids. What you do is, how's it going, honey? It's going great. How's your day? You look tired, man. You know what? You've done such a great job of providing for us. You know what's stupid? I burnt the food today, but you did such a good job. We have extra fuck. Right, ladies? But our minds don't go away. Our mind down, and we think about the negative, and we're miserable, and we live our lives that way. We're all miserable. Our mind dwells on those who hurt, not those who helped us. You could hear, and a person does you 50 good things for you, and the one time they don't do good, you're going to dwell on that one time all day long, bitter about it. That parents, you have adult kids? One time you didn't show up for the one thing that you were there for 55,000 soccer games, and bring your kids next time, reach again. But you know, it's crazy because we dwell on the negatives because we don't forgive, and we dwell and we dwell and we dwell and we dwell. You know what's dumb about that? You got some person who walks over and smacks you over the head with a club. And you say, that hurt. Then what you do is you take a pair of handcuffs, you lock yourself to them, and that hurt. And they whack. Hey, I'm hooked to you now. Whack. They follow you around all day. Because you think about all they did to you. And you say, well, about what you're going to tell them and how you're going to tell it tough and all your plan. You key on your keychain you're going to key their car with. And you do all those things. And you dwell on them. You think about it. You dwell on it. You go to bed and can't sleep. And you toss and turn because you're angry and mad. And they beat you up all along because you just keep them. You change to them. They might have really done you wrong. But don't chain yourself to them all day. Hey, think about other things. Praise God for things that happen in your life. It's a stronghold because you dwell on them. Stronghold because you are not what you should be to those you love because you're a victim to your past, present battles. You are not what you should be to those you love today because you're a victim to your present battles. You're your kids because somebody's mean to you at work. You're mean to your neighbor was mean to you and you come to your kids out and give them a bad day. No. You, that's why stronghold. You're always angry. Why does it always say I'm angry? I'm sick of them saying that. Maybe you are. I'm not. Don't tell me that. Shut up. Maybe you really are angry because you can't forgive. It's a stronghold because your unforgiving, bitter spirit even goes toward God. Because after a while, it's just you're mad at your boss, you're mad at your neighbor, you got mad at your spouse or your child or the guy you did with. 15 days later, still mad because they shorted you a French fry at McDonald's. And you're still angry or mad. And you're so bitter and angry and it doesn't do anything for you. And you're thinking about yourself so much that pretty soon when every expectation in your life failed, you're saying, why are you like this, God? And your bitterness, because bitterness destroys you completely, now you're applying God. And now you're even bitter at God. God, you're not fair. Why did you do this? And why did everything work out for me? You're such a bitter person. You're talking to the creator of the universe who gave his son for you and accusing God. Because the stronghold was never dealt with. And it eventually gets to there. Pretty soon you're mad at God because you're mad at everybody. Everybody's been wrong to you and treated you wrong in life. You got to quit. How do you quit your unforgiveness? Let me take it to talk about it. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm so glad I have a lot of people at Open Door who understand what I'm talking about, because if you're all holier than thou's, look really bad right now. What is he talking about? What is she talking about? I've never felt that. Ephesians 4. How do you quit? Here's how I forgive people. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor while speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Here's a line. Even as God, Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I said it earlier. I can't help it. It comes out. It's my thought is, I've done worse to God than they did to me. How did God forgive me? Totally. I knew every sin I would ever. Do you know how many sins I've done? No, you don't. Thank God. You know how many sins you do in a life? From the first moment of your life, you steal grandma's cookies out of her cookie jar. Until the end of your life, you steal the other person's dentist nursing home. You eat their peanuts, and that they were chocolate covered. Everything you do in a nursing home, you die. Every sin between every lust, every hatred, every bad thought, every bad word, every bitterness, every murder in some senses, every sexual immorality, lustful look, every person you hated, every time you failed as a parent, every time you thought an evil thought, every little thing, God looked forward and said, I see everything you've done. Love you. I love you so much. Son, go be tortured to death for them. I love them. And then God, knowing all those sins, and know all that I know, and you all know what's right to do, and you know what's right to do, and you go out then and you just willfully sin against God and do something wrong, and you know better. And God, you come up and say, God, I'm so sorry, confess my sin. And God says, I forgive you. Just away. What are you talking about? You know, I don't know what you're talking about. You don't have any sin. God does that to me. He says, the way I forgive other people. But they don't do it. Do you? I don't. I don't deserve it either, and yet God loves me, and he forgives me, and he saves me. He gives me everything, an eternal life, and a friendship, and gives me a relationship, and he's my best friend. And those things that God, he becomes my father. All those things he does are in me and my sin. And I'm so glad that I can get that from God. Why wouldn't I turn around? Okay, you wronged me. I forgive you. You can hold it against me, aren't you? Uh-uh. I'll say, you might not believe me if you've never been here before. Hey, this. You can get a point if you get close enough to God and get godly enough, forget. Very few people ever get there. If you get godly enough, I explain how it happens. I don't know how it happens. If it's a mental lapse, I don't know if it's God's miracle. I just know that when I'm real close to God and somebody comes up and asks forgiveness, I've gotten they did something wrong. I don't know anybody in this room who's done anything wrong to me right now. And I'm not mad at anybody. You might have something against me. Or I might have something against you. You might have done something to me. If you've done something wrong to me, I don't even think you have to apologize. If you borrowed money from me, pay it back. I won't remember. You get away with this time, but you know what? If you pay me back, I won't remember. In my mind, hey, really? And hard to say, oh, glad you remembered. But you know what? We forget. You can forgive. You know what? There's been some pretty bad things people have been. Good Christians can forgive all kinds of things. The Christians in the New Testament, some of them probably had to forgive Paul, who probably some of their family members. Think about that. God's mercy. He says, as forgiven you, forgive others. You just got to realize God's been merciful to you, and you've been really bad to him. You've got to return that favor. You get bitter. Two people in the Bible who took their anger different directions ended up in different directions was Saul and Joseph. Joseph had a real good reason to agree. His brothers sold his slavery. That's a reason to be mad. Lost everything in life. Joseph, at the end, came back, and he met them on the other side, and he'd been a slave and in dungeons and everywhere else. And God meant it for evil. But you know what? I'm not going to hurt you at all. God did this so I could save and feed you. And there was no anger in any of them. Let them think there a little bit. Scared them a little bit. But he said, I'm not going to do anything to worry. That is going to kill him. And he had a wonderful, productive life because he gave. Saul, they sang songs about David. And Saul, David, and all he did is think about David. David did this. David did that. David. And he wastes his life in bitterness and anger and murder and hatred. And God destroyed him and removed him from being king. One had a wonderful, productive life because he forgave. One had a terrible, bitter, miserable life because he just let his thoughts dwell on bitter thoughts. It's a big difference. The Bible calls it the root of bitterness springing up in you in the book of Bruce. Lest a root of bitterness, you can understand anger and forgiveness, if it stays there, what happens is a root gets planted in you. And that root is very, it's like a dandelion. You try to pull a dandelion out, and you get most of it. And guess what's there next year? Or next month. And you got that bitterness, and see, you wouldn't forgive, and turned to anger, and you got to be a angry person, and now you have problems controlling your temper and everything. And now, and by the way, they did do you wrong. They really did mistreat you. They really hurt you. They really bailed out on you. They really let you down. They weren't there for you when you needed them. And you become anger, and then it got all the way to the camp of bitterness, and now you're a bitter person. The word bitter is actually talking about a flavor, a nasty. Oh. And that's what people walk around. You can look at a person and say, why ask? Bitter. Story in the Bible. Turn there. It's Matthew 18. Back in Matthew again. Jesus told a parable. Man is the Lord, a king. And he had lots and lots and lots of stuff. Lots and lots and lots of things. And he went to his servants and he said, where's the money? And servants, it says he had a bunch of talents. And if it was the silver, it's billions of dollars. Doesn't say what kind of talents it is in Matthew 18. And he said, where's the money? It's gone. And he says, I'm selling you. I'm selling your wife. I'm selling kids. I'm selling your house. I'm selling everything to slavery. I do now. And I'm selling you to slavery to make up for the money you sold. And he says, my kids. I mean, I know I sold the money. My house, my wife. No, please don't. We don't want to be slaves. You know how they'll abuse my. You know what? Please. He got on his knees and begged his Lord. He said, please forgive me. Forgive me. I'll get it all back. And he said, wow. I forgive you. You know what? You're all forgiven. The whole debt's gone. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much. Same man walks and he finds a guy who owes money. He says, hey, where's the money you owe me? You owe me $3,000-something. Remember, he owed probably billions. And he literally says, the guy, I don't have it. And he literally grabbed him by the throat and says, you're going to the dungeon to sell you and sell all you have. Come up in the deepest dungeon. And the other servants of the Lord sat and went back and said, do you know what that guy you just did? He just went down and grabbed the guy by the throat and threw him in the dungeon. The guy got on his knees and begged for forgiveness. Just he did. And he says, tell him to come here. Back comes a servant forgiven and who didn't forgive the other guy. Comes back to the Lord. He says, I'm going to do what you just did to that. You should have forgiven. Matthew 18. 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved to compassion and looked and forgave him the debt. Same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants owed him 100 pence and laid hands and took him by the throat saying, pay me the owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him saying, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he pay his debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done and they were very sorry and came and told the Lord all that was done. And the Lord after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou servant, I forgave thee all thy because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have passion on thy fellow servant, even had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due to him. Likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every brother trespasses. That's where we started. You want it that way? Okay, I'll forgive you that way. Why isn't God blessing me and hearing my prayers? How's your bitterness and anger and forgiveness? You're still dwelling on your mom for 20 years. You're still dwelling on that first boss you had. You're still on your... People do wrong stuff, and you can let it make your better. But if God died for you and gave you, if I were you, I'd tear down that stronghold and just say, you know what? I don't care if you ask us or not. I'm just forgiving you. I'm not dwelling this anymore. I may not hang around you, may not loan you any more money. I may not do that. I might not marry you. But you know what? I'm not going to live in anger with you. I forgive you. I'm moving on with a great life. Tear down the stronghold. Those of you who know what I'm talking about here, your relationship with God. God loved you. He saved you from hell. Trusted him. But things aren't right, because a stronghold of bitterness is still there. Can I say this? If you don't know, I'm sure you're going to heaven today. God wants to forgive you your sin. Jesus already died for you. And he's a merciful God. We're forgiving for all of it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you that you're such a merciful God. Lord, may we be so. May we be a forgiving people. May we not live in bitterness and anger. May today we just forget about what somebody hurt us, Lord. And dwell on them, but dwell on the good people now that you put in us.